would like to read this in a responsive manner. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. And let's read verse 5 together. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I do pray that as your word goes forth this morning, it would certainly accomplish its purpose. Father, I know this is not going to be a real pleasant, uplifting message this morning. In many cases, it may sting. But Father, we just pray that we would not become hard-hearted or stubborn or try to justify the areas where we're falling short, but rather that this would be a wake-up call for us, that we would start doing what we're supposed to do according to your word, because there's a whole lot at stake if we don't. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I probably piqued your curiosity by that prayer. Well, folks, this coming Thursday, I'm going to be the guest speaker of the Kiwanis Club prayer breakfast that will be held at the municipal building of Bunker Hill. For those of you who may not know, Kiwanis International is an organization who does a lot of good works. The main focus of what they do is actually helping to improve the lives of children, not only here in the States, but all over the world. Their motto is changing the world one child and one community at a time. Well, since their focus really is on helping children, I thought this would be a good time for us to take a look at the issues our children are facing today, and how in many cases we as parents and grandparents are failing to raise our kids according to the principles of the Bible. The title of our message today is Train Up a Child. The key verse that all of this is based on is Proverbs 22:6, and we'll get to that in a little bit. Now, if you won't be at this prayer breakfast on Thursday, by the way, all of you are invited if you want to come out. I'm not a salesman, but I think tickets are $15 or something. But if you can't make it, don't worry, because today is the sneak preview of that message, and it's free. You know, if you turn on your TV today or get on the internet or turn on the radio, more than likely you're going to hear somebody at some point talking about how we here in America are wasting more natural resources than any other five nations combined. They say that we're burning holes in the ozone and we've got global warming and, you know, we're poisoning the animals and these tuna fishermen are getting little baby dolphins caught in their net. So whether you're talking about ozone depletion or global warming or any of this stuff, the so-called experts say that if we don't change our ways and fast, we're going to be in trouble. Because once those resources are gone, they're gone for good. Well, I'm not going to even get into that discussion. But I believe that we have a far more valuable resource that we're wasting today in a major way. And that resource is our children. Now, some of you folks may hear that and go, wow, that's a pretty shocking statement, man. Well, maybe it is shocking, but that doesn't make it any less true. See, I'm not talking about the godless slaughter of millions of our unborn babies on the so-called altar of choice that's called abortion. That's a discussion for another day. What I'm talking about is how our children are being wasted today in America as a result of parents who are withholding time, love, and discipline from them. See, our children are being wasted by parents who either don't teach their kids about God because either they themselves are unbelievers or because they're just so lackadaisical in their own Christian walk that they don't see the importance of teaching their kids anything about God or the Bible. So I'm going to ask a series of questions of you folks today as we go through. And the first one is this. How can we expect our kids or our grandkids, for that matter, to mature into upstanding Christian people if we are not laying the groundwork at home. How can we expect them to have decent morals and values if they don't see us modeling those? In our scripture reading, we saw in Psalm 127, verse 3, that children are God's reward. They're his gift to us. But, you know, we got a lot of parents today who are failing to take this gift and do anything with it. We are squandering, in many cases, the greatest gift God can give, with the exception of salvation itself. I heard a story about this young successful attorney. He said, one year for Christmas, my dad gave me this little box. I opened it up, and inside was a piece of paper, and it says, son, this year I will give to you 365 hours, an hour every day after dinner. He said, my dad not only kept his promise, but he renewed it year after year. And it was the greatest gift I ever received. I am the result of my father's time. See, when we fail to make time for our kids, we're telling them, hey, you're really not that important to me. There's other things I'd rather be doing than spending time with you. Now, we do this, and then we wonder why our kids don't listen to us, why they don't respect us. We wonder why our kids get hooked on drugs, why they get pregnant while they're still in high school, or many times even middle school. We can't understand how come when our kids are 25 or 30 years old, they got to come back home and move in with us because they can't hold down a job. Quite simply, it's because we have not invested the time to equip them with the tools they need to make it out there in the world. We failed. I heard another story about a judge who was about to sentence a young man to prison. And he said, young man, before I pass sentence on you, do you remember your father whom you have disgraced? The young man said, yes, your honor, I remember my father perfectly. Anytime I went to him for advice or companionship, he would look up from his big book on the law of trust and say, run away, boy, I'm busy. Well, your honor, my dad finished his book, and here I am. You have to make time for your kids. You know, my dad spent his short life working hard, working a lot of hours to take care of us. I'm sure a lot of your dads did the same thing. You know, a wise man once said that next to good habits, the most valuable thing we can give to our children is good memories. And I believe that's true. Last week I turned 42, and I vividly remember being 4 or 5 years old, and my dad took me for rides on his motorcycle. I remember when I was a little kid, he'd come home from work, man, all dirty and tired in his old beat-up car or truck, and he took time to throw a baseball around with me. I remember my mom working long hours at the hospital, coming home and reading me stories, making me feel like I was important to her. My folks never had a whole lot of money, and most of you don't either, I know that. But that really doesn't matter because our kids spell love T-I-M-E. You know, in addition to us withholding time from our kids, something else that we're in desperate need of today is some good old-fashioned discipline. We don't discipline our kids anymore. There's times when I go out to a store, I see kids throwing temper tantrums, yelling, screaming, in some cases even cussing at their parents. And probably a lot of you have heard it too. And I'm not talking about just little bitty kids here. I'm talking about kids big enough to know better. We see kids today that are completely out of control. They can't behave for nothing. And their parents don't do anything to correct it. Oh, well, you know, I took away his Game Boy. Really? What kind of discipline is that? All right, I don't want to get too far off track here. You know, the thing here is physically disciplining our kids, really that's become a thing of the past. People don't spank kids anymore. Why? Because the so-called experts, who probably don't even have any kids of their own, say, oh, well, you know, that's barbaric. It may hurt the child's self-esteem. They need to be allowed to run free and express themselves so they can find their own way. Really? Proverbs 22:6 says that it's your responsibility as the parent to train that child up in the way he should go. Now, the Bible doesn't condone abusing a child, and I certainly don't either. But even the most liberal bleeding heart out there has to understand there's a big difference between abusing a child and putting a little swat on their backside to teach them that there are consequences when you do wrong. Now, I know Oprah and all of these other TV talk show hosts say, oh, spanking has gone out of style and you psychologically damage the child and all of that. Proverbs 29:15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. We got a whole lot of ashamed mothers today with sons in prison, folks. Now, these experts may tell you that spanking's not the answer, but the Word of God says in Proverbs 23:13-14, now this verse gets right down to it. Withhold not correction from your child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. There it is, folks. Now, you may hear that and say, well, my child is so intelligent that I can reason with him and make him understand. Well, okay. But Proverbs 22:15 says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction will drive it far from him. Now, some of you, I know, I can tell by the looks on your face, you're sitting there thinking, hey, Sander, I don't care what you say, man. I love my child too much to spank him. My parents used to spank me and I didn't like it, and I'm not going to do that to my kids because I love them too much. Is it really love that's making you not spank those kids? Let's see what the Bible has to say about whether or not you love that kid. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Now let me ask you another question. Do you think it's really a coincidence that as the number of parents who really hold their children accountable continues to decrease, the number of psychiatrists who have kids in their office that are being prescribed mind-altering drugs is increasing? Wow, is that a coincidence? I don't believe it is. Let me ask you yet another question. If you're in here today and you're more than 30 years old, let me ask you this question. How come not one of us knew even one single kid who had attention deficit disorder when we were little? Not one. You trying to tell me that we've got all these new diseases that never existed until 15 years ago? I ain't buying that. There's a twofold answer to why no kids we grew up with ever had nothing like that. Number one, the psychology field and the pharmaceutical companies had not yet discovered they could put medical-sounding terminology on plain old-fashioned sinful behavior and then make billions of dollars by conning the insurance companies into paying for it. Number two, and you know I'm right about this, back when we were growing up, if you had attention deficit disorder, your teacher or your principal had the cure. A firm swat on the backside with a wooden paddle. Once that happened to you once or twice, guess what? You didn't have attention deficit disorder no more. Come on. I know it certainly cured me of mine. And furthermore, you know I'm right about this. If you got whipped at school, what was going to happen when you got home and mom and dad found out? You was going to get it worse for embarrassing the family name, right? But we don't do that anymore because that's outdated. That's antiquated. Let me tell you without any doubt, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what you may be going through, with little Janie or little Johnny. The Word of God addresses every single child-rearing question you may have, and I am 100% certain Ritalin is not the answer to any of them. So we no longer hold our kids responsible for their actions. Why? Because it's much easier for us to say, well, my child has a condition, or my child has a disorder. It's far more easier for us to do that than it is to say, I'm a lousy parent who's not doing what I'm supposed to be doing when it comes to raising my kid. When we tell our kids, it's not your fault that you're acting bad. You can't help it. You have an illness. We're telling them that there's just absolutely no accountability for anything they do. It's not their fault because they have an illness. Yeah, they got the same illness we got. They're sinners. They need a savior. You know, regardless of what you think about that, you know this is right. When that child grows up, his boss ain't going to care that much if some Sigmund Freud wannabe has diagnosed him with bipolar disorder. If he acts at work like he does at home, he's going to get fired in a New York minute, and then you will be stuck wiping his little nose and powdering his little behind until the day you die because he can't go out there and make it in the real world. And why is that? Because you have failed to equip him with the truth and with the tools he needs to make it. I don't know who said this quote, but it's a good one. The child that never learns to obey his parents in the home will not obey God or man outside the home. That's something for you to think about. General Douglas MacArthur said, by profession, I'm a soldier, and I take pride in that, but I'm prouder to be a father. Amen. Fathers, are you proud of your kids? Then tell them that. They need to receive some encouragement from you. Do you want your children to grow up to be godly men and women? Then you got to help them get there by modeling those Christian biblical values in the home. See, we can tell them what they're supposed to do. That doesn't always work, does it? They're going to do what they see us do. How are you ever going to convince your kids that having a personal relationship with Jesus is important if they don't see you pray, if they don't see you read your Bible? How are you going to convince them that it's important to be at church on a regular basis where you can hear the Word of God when you don't show up yourself but once every 6-7 weeks? What kind of example are you sending to the kid by doing that? Do you want your sons to grow up to be good husbands and fathers? Then make sure you're a good husband and father. Do you want your daughter to grow up to marry a man who treats her right? Then make sure you're treating your wife right. Because for a lot of little girls, life at home is kind of a dress rehearsal for love and marriage outside the home. Billy Graham's daughter, Catherine, she said, "My father is the standard by which all subsequent men in my life have been judged." See, it's like this. If your kids see that even during the hard times, you're committed to your marriage, chances are they're probably going to be committed to theirs. If your kids see that you conduct yourself with some honor and integrity in the way you live, chances are they will too. But if you turn your back on your marriage vows, if you cheat on your taxes, if you call off from work when you're not really sick, chances are your kids are going to grow up and live the same raggedy kind of life you're living because that's the example you're setting for them. When we fail to spend time with our kids, we tell them they're not important. When we fail to discipline our kids, we tell them, I don't love you enough to teach you the difference between right and wrong. When we don't hold our children accountable when they do something bad, we tell them, you can't help it. It's not your fault. You know, it has become far too easy to play the victim in our society today. Everybody's a victim. Oh, well, this wasn't my fault. I blame it on this or that. Come on, man. That's not what the Word of God tells us at all. We're all responsible for our actions. Nobody's a victim. Is it really any wonder that we have school shootings, rapes, beatings, and even murders being committed by so many young people in this country today? Is it really surprising that we got a generation of people who can't hold down jobs, they can't manage money, they can't make marriages work? Is it really any wonder that all kinds of deviant behavior and sexually transmitted diseases are running rampant in our society? See, we think we're so smart, man. We think we've evolved to this point of enlightenment where we don't have to raise our kids in those outdated ways like our grandparents did. We don't make our kids get up an hour before sunup in the morning and do a bunch of chores before they go to school and then come home and do more chores in the afternoon. We don't teach our kids the value of a dollar. Oh, just let them have whatever they want. He's six. He needs an iPhone. Our kids don't know anything about what it means to work for what you want. We've spoiled them. We don't spank them anymore. Oh, that may have been okay back in the 40s and 50s, but we know that's not the way to go anymore. We don't raise our kids like our grandparents did. May I say to you folks, that's true. In many cases, we ain't raising them at all. Psalm 127 says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So the question I have for you as we're about to wrap this up is, what kind of heritage are you creating through your kids? What are you doing with the gift that God has given you? Are you raising your child to be strong in the Lord? To be a person of honor, integrity, and self-discipline? Or are you just letting them find their own way and do what they think's best? Proverbs 16:25 has an answer to that. It says, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, if you're failing to raise your kids according to the Word of God, they're heading for certain destruction. How are they going to learn unless you teach them to model those biblical values? See, I want what every dad wants, folks. I want my sons to grow up to be a better man than me. I want my daughter to grow up and marry a man a whole lot better than the one her mom married. But I want more than that. I want my kids to grow up putting God first in everything they do. I want them to honor him with the first fruits of their income. I want them to seek to serve him all the days of their life. Why is that so important? I'll tell you, because although their earthly father often stumbles, often falls, often fails to live up to God's standards, their heavenly father will always provide for them. He will never leave them, never forsake them. I want my kids to know that, and I want them to live that. As we wrap this up today, I want to close this with another quote. This is actually a quote from a prayer that General MacArthur gave many years ago. And this should be the prayer of every mother and father in here today. General MacArthur said, "Oh Lord, build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, who will reach into the future and yet never forget the past." Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths that it contains, even the truths that make us feel uncomfortable or sometimes even kind of beat us up a little bit. Lord, for those mothers and fathers and grandparents here today that are doing everything they know how to do to raise their kids according to your word, Father, I pray that you would comfort them and encourage them to keep on doing what they're doing. And Lord, if we've got some in our congregation today that have had some conviction put by your word and your spirit upon their heart, Lord, I pray that you would not cause them to become discouraged or beat themselves up, but rather just to take this as a wake-up call and to get more involved in what's going on. Lord, you know we've got to straighten these crooked trees that are young and pliable. When a tree gets big, you can't bend it anymore. So, Lord, help us to do your will while we still have time to do it in the lives of our kids and our grandkids. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thank you, folks, and God bless you.